take your Bible and turn to the book of Ruth, tonight. And old timers used to call sometime, they'd call it getting out of the banks. Sometime they'd get out of banks on you. That means you don't know what to do with it. I like it like that. It ain't like that always. You're not going to have a high service every time. But every now and then you need a good high service to the Lord to come through and visit with you and get you through the low places. Amen. Let you know God's still working around here. God's still moving. I said God's still moving around here.
Amen.
He's still working around, moving around. And amen. Blessing. We had a good one this morning. Good service this morning. I enjoyed it. Book of Ruth, a couple Sunday nights ago, last Sunday night was fifth Sunday, and a couple Sunday nights ago, we started in the book of Ruth. One of the reasons we're doing the book of Ruth is the young people are doing a Bible bowl, and I hope and pray they're listening, and not that I have all the answers, because I don't even know what the questions are, and the blank and all of them, they've been working, trying to get the book of Ruth, book of Esther covered before January the 2nd there, and this book's been on my heart for a while, and I want to deal with just a few things in chapter 1. We won't make it to chapter 2 again yet, but chapter 1, I did some introduction things. In chapter number 1, you have a story of a family that has started out in Bethlehem, the place of blessing, Bethlehem, the house of bread. And there was a famine in the land. And so this famine has caused Elimelech and his wife Naomi. He had two sons. And they left the house of blessing. They left the place of bread, Bethlehem. And they went into the land of Moab. They went into the land of Moab. And this man led his wife, his two children, into the land of Moab. Tried to raise them because there was a famine in the house of blessing. And they moved over here because there was food over there. Elimelech, her Naomi's husband, died over here. Their two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, they died over here and left Naomi and two of her daughter-in-laws, which married her two sons. Now there's three women, three widows, in a land away from the blessing. And this is the story of how God has brought them back to the place of blessing, the place of where God has fellowship with his people. And these Christians have got out of the way. They've out of fellowship. Hey, Christian folks do that on occasion. They get out of fellowship. They get away from the house of blessing and the place of the house of bread. And they'll get over here and God will have to do something. God will have to punish. God will have to chastise and get them to try to get back. And so every one of these is a picture and a type of every person in this room tonight. Elimelech is a picture and a type of a certain person. Naomi is a picture and a type. Ruth is a picture and a type of a certain person in the room tonight. So is Orpha, which is one of the daughter-in-laws. Let's take just a minute and read chapter number 1, verse number 1. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife was Naomi, the name of his two sons, Mahlon, Chilion, Ephratites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. Notice, they didn't go to visit. Well, they did, but they wound up staying. They continued in that place. Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. And she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. You better be careful who you marry. Young people, listen, you better be careful who you marry. You better marry somebody that's saved. You better meet somebody in church. So I'm just trying to save you some heartache. Save you some, you know, there are exceptions to the rule. But I don't want to take my chances on the exception to the rule. There are people that got married, they were out of church, and they got one of the parties got saved, and everything's hunky-dory now, and that's great. That's exception to the rule. It don't always work that way. And so these two boys took wives of the women of Moab, Verse 4. They took them wives, the women of Moab. And the name of the one was Orpha, and the name of the other was Ruth, and they dwelt there about 10 years. Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them, and the women, the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people and given them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughter-in-laws with her, and they went on their way to return unto the land of Judah, back to Bethlehem. And Naomi said unto her two daughter-in-laws, go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord dealt kindly with you, as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, surely, we will return with thee unto thy people. Naomi said, turn again, my daughters, why wilt thou go with me? Art there yet any more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband also tonight and should also bear sons, would ye tarry for them till they were grown? Would ye stay with them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieved me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. They lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. She said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, or return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. Whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. When she saw that she was steadfast minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. So they too went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass, when they were come to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about. And they said, is this Naomi? She said unto them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call me Naomi, seeing the Lord has testified against me, and the Almighty has afflicted me? So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. Heavenly Father, thank you, the Lord, for your reading, the reading of your words. You help us tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. All of God's people said, amen. Four chapters. The book of Ruth is filled with information. Several things are going on in the book of Ruth. You have a time of realization. You have a time of repentance. You have a time of returning. Every one of these characters in the book of Ruth represent someone you know. They possibly could represent you. There is a lesson here in chapter number one. A family. Listen. What about this family, this Christian husband, this Christian wife, Christian mother, raising these two boys, and all of a sudden decide, some hard times come, a famine comes, and they decide to pick up and move to a land like Lot took his family, a place like Sodom and Gomorrah, where he had no business raising a Christian family. Here's what happens. Sometimes we get impatient with God. Sometimes we get impatient. Sometimes it's best to just wait on God. Let God direct your path. I read about an illustration about a truck driver who was an all-night truck driver. He stopped in an all-night diner, and he was stopped there, and the waitress was late at night, and he stopped to fix his meal there, and he was in there, and all of a sudden there was three Hell's Angels motorcycle gang come in, leather jackets, rough-looking characters. Here they come, and they started picking with this man. They started picking at his hamburger and stealing his fries and just elbowing him and punching him. He didn't move, didn't say nothing. He just kept on sitting there and just sitting there. And they kept on picking at him and pushing on him and eating half of his hamburger and took his hat, threw it in the ground, on the floor, and just aggravating. You know, people do to aggravate you. And he didn't say a word. And he got up, took his ticket, went over there to the counter, paid his ticket. He drove off. Them old motorcyclists looked at that waitress and said, "He ain't much of a man, is he?" She said, looking out the window, she said, "Well, I don't know what kind of man he is, but he ain't much of a driver. He just run over 3 motorcycles." Sometimes if you'll just wait, just be patient. Impatience is characterized by complaining and criticizing. Impatience says, speed up, take the shortcut, use the quick fix. Impatience says, I want it now. Impatience takes risk and is rash and reckless decisions. Impatience makes one hot-tempered and uncontrolled. Impatience leads to stress. Impatience makes a person short with others. I mean, say amen whenever you get ready. Impatience leads to evacuation or easy surrender of responsibility. Impatience sacrifices the permanent on the altar of the immediate. Let me say that again. Impatience sacrifices the permanent on the altar of the immediate. Impatience leads to immaturity, incompleteness, dissatisfaction. Impatience makes one snappy and nervous. Sometimes just be patient. Just look, do what, listen. Don't pray for patience unless you know what you're doing. But being impatient does all of these things, and sometimes being impatient, Not waiting on God to move you, sometimes it could destroy your family by jumping ahead of God and moving your family over here. The reason they moved was because of a famine. The reason they moved is because there was no bread here. God didn't say move. Hey, can God supply your needs even in a famine? Did God provide food, angel food cake for Elijah? I mean, was he not fed with the ravens in the middle of a drought? I mean, hey, God can do what he wants to do. Just be patient and wait on him. Now, here's what I want to get to tonight. I don't have much time to do it, but here's what I want to show you. Every one of these characters, Elimelech, Naomi, Ruth, Orpha, those characters there represent every person in this room. You're one of those four. One of those four characters. Some of those characters there are saved. One of those characters is not saved. One of those characters in there is a professor, but not a possessor. And you've got some that may be in here. I hope not, but you may be in the room tonight, and you may be a professor. And I'm not talking about a school teacher at a college. I'm talking about a professor that I'm saved, but it's just all you're doing is professing with this mouth, and you don't possess it in your heart. And there are different kinds of characters in the book of Ruth before we move to chapter 2 that I want to deal with, because I think it would help us all to categorize ourselves into one of these four different characters. You have a person like Naomi. I think you've probably all been there. I have. Naomi, saved, good Christian lady. But now she's moved off into a land. This is what we call backslidden state. Out of fellowship with God. That doesn't mean you lost your salvation. That means you've lost your fellowship, not relationship. You cannot you lose your relationship. You can lose fellowship. And Naomi is out of fellowship with God because the place of blessing is over there. She's in a place like Sodom and Gomorrah, trying to raise a family to live for God. And it's almost impossible to raise a good godly family in the midst of immorality. That place over there was a place of blessing. God had his hand on that place. They chose to be there. But Naomi returned, got back right with God. And you'll see a contrast between Naomi and the prodigal son. Luke 15, the prodigal son. The prodigal son left home, went out into the hog pen. Naomi left home and went out into the hog pen. Notice the characteristics between the prodigal son. The prodigal son, it says, when he came to himself, he said, you know what? The servants, the lowest man on the totem pole, eats better at my father's house than I'm eating right now. Right. Yeah. Naomi said the same thing. Naomi said, I left full. Now I'm over here empty. Them people over there eating better than I am over here. And the reason I left is because there's a famine in the land, and if them people over there is eating better than the reason I left for. I'm going back home. And that right there is the state of most Christians. They're bachelor on God. They're halfway serving God. Amen. I mean, I know we were shouting real good a while ago, but hey, most Christians today are like Naomi. They left the house of blessing. They'll bebop in, bebop out. They don't care about the things of God. And I'm telling you, if you're saved, God will get your attention. He'll get your attention. He got the prodigal son's attention. He got Peter's attention. And oh, by the way, he got Jonah's attention pretty good. If you don't think the Lord can chase you down and back you up in a corner, hey, I got a good testimony for you. Ain't got time to tell you tonight. I'm going to tell you, he can get your attention. Sometimes it's with a whale, sometimes it's with a pistol. But I'm telling you, he will get your attention. And when he gets your attention, you're like, I'm going back home. I'm tired of this, I'm going back home. And some people are like that. But I'm going to tell you, some people are like Orpha. Notice Orpha. Orpha's one of the daughter-in-laws. Watch. Stay with me now. I know. Hey, hang on. Sunday night, hang on. Orpha's daughter-in-law. The Bible says, we read it. Don't take time. I won't take time to read it again. We read it. Both of the daughter-in-laws started heading home. Naomi said, y'all not even from over there. Y'all need to go on back to y'all's people, y'all's small G-O-D gods. Y'all need to stay over there with them. Y'all don't need to follow me. I can't get you a husband. I'm too old to have any more kids. If I did have a kid right now, you wouldn't wait on them to marry them. And won't y'all just stay on over here? Orpha, Bible said it, we read it, kissed mother-in-law on the cheek and said, I think you're right. I'm going back to my gods. Orpha was started out like she looked like she might be saved. Amen. She's headed that way. But I think somebody else looked like they were saved. I think they was running around with Jesus a whole lot. They looked like they were saved. They acted like they were saved. They went to church. They did all of that stuff. But when it all come down to it, he kissed the Lord on the side of faith, and he said, I'm going back to my gods. Orpha did the same thing. And that could be somebody, and maybe this is a good message for a Sunday morning, because Sunday morning there may have been, and maybe somebody here tonight. I hope not. But you're a professor. You are acting like you're going that way. But it's coming out of here. And you're a professor, but you're not a possessor. You got Naomi that was saved out of the will of God. But she went home, got back. Hey, I'm going to tell you, if you're saved, God will get your attention. You'll get back home. Yeah. Prodigal son, hey. Somebody said, well, what if a prodigal son died in the hog pen? Well, let me ask you a question. Whose daddy was he while he was in the hog pen? He's still that man's son. A person that gets backslid, they're still his son, his child. They're just out of fellowship. But a person that's professing to be saved, and it don't get down here. You know, somebody told me one time, said a lot of people are going to go to hell by 18 inches. They know it up here. It ain't here. Orpha was that way. Orpha was that way. And then you got Ruth. Hallelujah for Ruth. Ruth, she was a Moabite. She was just like Orpha. She was from that country. And she said, wherever you go, I'm going. Wherever you go to church, I'm going to church. Whoever your God is, gonna be my God. Wherever you live, I'm a living. Wherever they bury you, I'm being buried right next to you. I ain't a leaving you. I'm going. I'm tired of this. I ain't going back to my gods. I'm not going back to this place. I'm not going to. Listen, why would I want to go back to death and devastation and destruction? I'm coming with you. I mean, Jesus comes by your way and says, hey, will you go with me? And I'm telling you, when I was a 10-year-old boy, I said, I'm going with you. I ain't going back to where I came from. I'm going with you. I haven't gotten anywhere by doing it by myself. I'm going where you're going. And son, I'm telling you, Ruth said, I'm going with you. And I'm going to tell you, listen, if you think tonight's boring, okay, that's fine. Look, come back. Don't you miss next Sunday night when we get to chapter 2. And Boaz shows up. Y'all not going to miss. Y'all don't want to miss Boaz on a John Deere tractor. He's out there planting his feet. He's a Jew. And this Gentile girl shows up out in the field. Y'all not ready for that yet. That'll be next Sunday night. I'm just trying to give you, wet your whistle. My dad, they say, you need something to wet your whistle. Well, y'all need something to wet your whistle for next Sunday night. Because I'm telling you, when Boaz looked, he did like Adam. He went, whoa. Who is that? I want her digits. Come on now. Find out who that girl is. And he winds up redeeming her. Boaz marries a Gentile, and you're not going to believe, Ruth gets her name in Matthew in the genealogy of nobody really that important, Jesus Christ. I mean, that's probably not important to you. Hey, got her name in the Bible, genealogy of Jesus Christ, not to mention King David. Woo, hallelujah. But then you got Naomi. Backslidden Christian. You got Orpha, says she's a Christian, but ain't. You got Ruth, not a Christian, but says, she possesses. She is a possessor. And then, I hate to end on this note, but then you got somebody like Elimelech, who God says, buddy, you know what it's going to take to get your attention? I'm fishing just to bring you on up to heaven early in life. Because you just hard-headed, you ain't listening. I've tried whooping you. I've tried getting somebody to get your attention. I've tried preaching. I've tried teaching. I've tried everything under the sun. You won't listen. I've worked with you and tried to get your attention, send somebody your way. You won't listen. So guess what? I'll see you in just a minute. And we'll talk then. Huh? You say, preacher, that ain't in the Bible. Turn to Acts 5 real quick. Amen. real quick. Acts chapter 5. The service started out real good, and I don't mean to mess it up. Acts chapter 5. There is a point where God says, okay, the switch ain't working. You ain't listening. You're hard-headed. I know that. Now, we don't have those kind of people that go here. They go to other churches, and, you know, nobody in here is hard-headed. I understand. I'm not talking to anybody in here. I'm talking to other people that you know. Acts chapter 5, but a certain man, named, verse 1, Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession, kept back part of the price. His wife also, being privy to it, brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter and Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto... And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came on all of them that heard these things. And the young men arose, wound him up, carried him out, and buried him. They're having a funeral. And as it was about the space of 3 hours after. Now, if y'all want something to laugh at, y'all want just to lighten the room a little bit. Both of them was headed to church.
That's true. Yeah, come on now.
And the wife got there 3 hours later. Now, you men, I mean... You know, hey, 5 or 10 minutes, I understand, but 3 hours later, there's a lot of interesting things that can come out of that. Number one, church was still going on. Number two, she's just getting there. They done had a funeral. Verse 7, and it was about the space of 3 hours after when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. Peter answered unto her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. She said, yeah, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead and carried her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard that these things. Say, preacher, what are you trying? Sometimes. Not, you know, I don't know, but I'm telling you, sometime. Lord. You say, preacher, what do you honestly believe? I said, I'll tell you what I honestly believe. I don't know if I got any verses to back this up. I think I can get pretty close. But I think before a person gets so far, a saved person gets so far away, God has worked with them, disciplined, chastised, tried his best, worked with them, long-suffering. And they've done got so far, they claim to be saved, and now they are hindering people from around them and becoming a stumbling block from people around them that's preventing them from being saved because they're being a knucklehead. God says, it'd just be best for me to take you on home because there's people around you that are being influenced by you. And I just take you on out and maybe those people around you might get saved if I can get you out of their life. And stop hindering them and preventing them from, amen. You say, preacher, okay, let me give you one more verse. 1 Corinthians. I know this is. Next Sunday night will be a whole lot better. Nobody likes to. They don't preach on this kind of stuff no more. I remember old Mays Jackson. He'd preach on when God lays the axe to the root of the tree. When God lays his axe at the root of your tree and cuts your tree down. Son, I'm talking about, I heard him preach that. I got saved 10 times during the message. Just to nail it down and make sure. I mean, that's what the old timers did, man. 1 Corinthians 5. Y'all not going to believe what was going on in this church. 1 Corinthians 5. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you. And such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles that one should have his father's wife. Man, there's a guy in this church at Corinth. He's messing around with his father's, new wife. It'd be his stepmama. Everybody with me? Going on in church. Shaking that go? Yeah, that goes on. That kind of stuff. Y'all getting real quiet on me now. That kind of stuff needs to be preached every now and then. Probably more now than then. Verse 2 says, and ye are puffed up, and have not rather mourned that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. For I verily, as absent in body, but present in spirit, have judged already, as though I were present concerning him that hath done this deed. You know what Paul said? Now, y'all look at that. Paul wrote a letter. He wrote 1 Corinthians. He wrote this letter. He wrote chapter 5 to 1 Corinthians. He said, you know what? I know I ain't there, but I'm there in spirit. I done heard what's going on. And I'm making my judgment. Oh, Paul, you shouldn't judge people. Paul says, I'm a judge in you. I mean, forget what ACLU says and all that stuff. Paul says, I ain't worried about that. I said, Paul, you shouldn't be judging people. You should be. Paul says, I done judged you by the word of God. The Bible says that ought not be going on, and it's going on. I'm telling you, authority of God's word ought not be going on. You better get rid of that man. Amen. He said, verse 3, that's what he said. For I verily, as absent in body, but present in spirit, have judged already as though I were present concerning him that hath done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together, and my spirit with the power of the Lord Jesus Christ to deliver such a one unto for the destruction of the what? That the spirit might be in the day of the Lord. This was a saved man. You say, can saved people get that far? Yeah, they can get that far. But I'm going to tell you, it's very dangerous. Yeah, you can get over there. You can get over there in the city of Moab. Yeah. You keep lingering. I'm telling you, the Lord don't put up with that long. He says you're hurting folks around you in this church. You hurt people. And so Paul says we're just going to deliver his flesh. Satan, you can have him. Go on, do what you want to with him, Satan, because we know his spirit belongs to.
Yeah.
I wasn't planning on ending this way, but it looked like the Lord wanted us to go this way. Hey, we're living in a day where preachers are scared to say stuff like this. Yeah, I know you don't build big churches like preaching like this. Why do we don't preach on it very often? Like, man, I ain't coming back. But they talking about the Lord killing folks. Hey, I'm telling you, Acts 5, great fear fell on the church. I'm telling you, if folks started falling out in here, the church couldn't hold folks next Sunday, Wednesday night. We'd be sitting out chairs, people sitting outside in the parking lot on Wednesday night. Y'all better be. If you don't come to the altar for nothing else tonight, you better come because of grace. You better come tonight because God is long-suffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Now, I'm done. But everybody in here, Mark, come on, pen. But everybody in here, you're either Naomi, Orpha, or Ruth, or Elimelech. One of them three folks characterized. You say, preacher, can you match all that up with Paul? Yeah. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Into chapter 2, chapter 3. You got the natural man. Receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, but they foolish unto him. You got a spiritual man. You got a carnal man. That carnal man's saved. He just carnal. That's why I don't like carnivores. It's carnal. What about you tonight? Listen, I want to be right there in with Ruth on the place of blessing and the house of blessing and the house of bread, having the blessings of God on me, having the blessings of God on my family, having the blessings of God on my church. I'm telling you, I want to be there, and I hope you do too. Heavenly Father, I pray right now, God, you'd help bless the people. I hope that helped somebody. Lord, help us to get over there in chapter 2. Lord, we see where Boaz, the deliverer, the redeemer. Lord, we thank you for that already before we even get to it. In Jesus' name. Won't you stand if you need to come pray about something? Come pray about something. Pray for somebody. Every hour I need thee. People are coming to pray. You can come pray if you like.